Let's do it.
All right. Well, we are here with a special speaker today, which is Hugh. And I can say that none of us would be at this meeting today without this man. So very thankful that we have Hugh here with us and willing to speak with us today. Thank you, Hugh. Go ahead.
Thank you. Well, thank you for the introduction. I'm so glad to be here today. Having been depressed myself, actually, my depression started back in 1982. It was on December the 7th, and it was Pearl Harbor Day. And that's the day, how shall I say, I got bombed. I remember it very well. And that was a day when I learned something about humility, honesty, and being willing to change. And so that's where I've been these many years, working with people who are depressed like myself. I've not been depressed for many, many years. And I give that to the Depressed Anonymous 12-Step Program of Recovery. It does work, but it takes work. It works, but it takes work. After that happened, I was in a particular ministry job. So they told me to go to AA and see if that would help. Well, you know, AA always helps if you work at it. So I went to AA, and after about a year, I decided I didn't want to do what I was doing anymore. So I left and went back to my home in Indiana. And when I did, I felt awful. You know, guilt, shame, and all that. And then I also felt that I'd lost a lot of friends that I'd accumulated over the last 20 years at that time. And so not only that, but I had to find a job. And so I found a job, and then I had to have the job pay for my education. So I went to graduate school and started studying psychology. They say those who love to study psychology probably need a psychologist. I don't know, but that's the way I dealt with it. So anyway, I did that. And then to make a long story even shorter, I was given a tape recorder. They asked me to go practice on somebody, find somebody who wants to talk to you about their problems. So I did that and found a woman named Jane. She had been depressed for a couple of years. And her husband just had heart surgery, and she had some problems physically. And so I said, well, let's try it, Jane. You talk, and I'll listen, and then I'll record it, and then we'll see what we can find out. So I had 10 sessions with her totally. And by doing that with our professor, this was okay with her too. You were appraised of your counseling skills by how the counseling session went. So we did that, and after about five or six sessions, I noticed that she was getting a little bit better, and I was happy about that. And finally, toward the very end, she started doing the things that she used to do before she got depressed. So she found an idea that if she does something, motivation follows action. That's what we say in our DA book. Motivation follows action. And how true that is in my own life, to get up and do something. So anyway, she did that. And so I thought, you know what? AA sure works a wonder. It works a miracle just by getting people together and talking to each other. I said, that's a super idea. And I found that in AA myself. You know, when you share, you just feel like you're unloading a bunch of junk. And also the best part of it is that people listen to you. They want to help. And I'm going to share something with you. Two questions. When people know that I work with people depressed, namely work with myself, they ask these two questions. And I try to answer them as best I can. And here are the questions. Many times I'm asked the same two questions, and I always give the questioner the same two answers. And here they are. The first question, how come you keep coming to meetings though you say you are not depressed? I haven't been depressed ever since the 12-step program was enacted in my life. And I say, well, let me ask you a question. And I ask them, do you work out? Yes, 3 times a week. Well, you look like you're in good shape. And then they say, well, I do that, and I do it faithfully. I say, well, that's great. That's why I can keep coming to DA meetings. That's why I can keep helping people depressed, because we're all in a maintaining mode. We're working it day by day and trying to find hope for ourselves, and then we find hope for others. So that's the first question. Now, the next question is, well, if you do come to the program and you deal with people depressed, what keeps you from getting depressed? Isn't it depressing? No, that's a good question. Well, actually, it's not. No, I never find a meeting depressing. But then they say, well, they're all depressed people. Yes, that's right, they are. But the thing is, I have hope. You know, hope is the oxygen that feeds the soul. Hope is the oxygen that feeds the soul. And that's what I find here, I tell them. And by having hope, I can share my story. I'm sharing my story now. I'm sharing it with you. I'm telling you how my life has changed since I became a part of the 12-step program of recovery. Remember, it takes work. I probably, after I got depressed, in 1985. I came into the program in 1984. I worked with a bunch of people who were depressed for my degree, my graduate degree. And I asked the head psychologist, also the dean of the School of Psychology, if we could get people who were depressed together. And because I had such good fortune with Jane, the woman I had worked with for, 10 weeks. And he said, oh, Hugh, you can't even get these people out of bed in the morning, much less to a meeting. And so, well, I thought that was pretty rude of him to say something like that, which he knew nothing about. And even though he was a dean, I said, you know what? I want to do it anyway, whether, it might work or not. Let's give it a shot. So he gave it a shot. So I called different psychiatrists and mental health agencies, and we had a good group, maybe 15 people. So we had a program of 2 months, 10 weeks. And they came faithfully. Everybody came faithfully. And they all started talking and all started thinking about their lives and sharing their lives with others. And after a while, people started opening up and becoming more and more aware that if they talk, they can get healed. And so not everybody gets healed, but these people in that group all got better to some degree, some less, some more. So from that program, I thought, well, why don't we just start a group? I didn't have a name for the group. So I said, why don't we just start a group? And one lady said, oh, I have the perfect name.
Muted.
I'm muted again? No, can you hear me?
No, you're fine. Another person was on mute. Please continue, okay. And I'll make sure.
Thank you. So anyway, what we did, she said, why don't you call this group for depressed people? Now, she wasn't depressed. Why don't we call it Uppers for Downers? Oh, I said, that's a clever title. And then I brought it to the people, the graduate students and others who I was working with. And they said, no, I don't think that's going to work. Why don't we call it what we are? We're depressed and we're anonymous. And so with that in mind, we started our first Depressed Anonymous meeting in 1985. And so with that, I found out that the more you let people know that there is hope and help, like this group, you can find a way out of depression. I'm going to show you some books here. This is the first DA book. It's called Depressed, Here is a way out. Okay. Guess who decided about the name for AA? Bill W. and Dr. Bob. And they thought, well, let's try Here's a Way Out. Well, they had some discussion and that didn't really win approval. So then they called it Alcoholics Anonymous. So we have that book. Then a friend of mine gave me a book by Dr. Dorothy Rowe. And that book was called The Way Out of Depression, The Prison of Depression. So I had known her through some correspondence. And then she said, why don't you send me your book, Depressed, Here's a Way Out, and using the suggested 12-step program. And I said, well, that'd be a fabulous idea. Well, let's just see if our publisher might want to look at it. Well, lo and behold, the publisher looked at it. And then they published this, Depressed, Here's a Way Out by HarperCollins. Now, HarperCollins is into making money, okay? And this book didn't make any money. So it wasn't published anymore after 1990 or something like that. So that was our second try. Then, after being with our DA group, and we moved to Evansville. I moved to Evansville because I got a new position. And by doing that, I had to leave and go to Louisville. I had to work there. So I set up another DA group right away. I said, this is great. So I had a conference room, and people who were depressed, they came, and we started our first DA meeting in Louisville. And that's where I am now, the Derby City, you know, the Kentucky Derby. And I'm sure you all watch that every first week of May, don't you? Kentucky Derby. Okay, well, anyway. So they came. And they decided, you know what? We don't have any material. We have a big book of AA, but we're depressed. We're not alcoholics. I said, well, I am. That's too bad, he said. But I have been depressed. So I was approved to work with this group because they had come and they wanted to write their own 12 steps. And this is what we came up with, Depressed Anonymous. Isn't that simple? It just says it all. I'm depressed and I am anonymous. I don't know anybody here's last name. You don't know my last name either. Well, maybe you do. I don't know. But anyway, that's our book. And guess who wrote it? Did I write this? Heck no. I'm not that smart to tell people whatever people think about their depression. So these people started writing. I wrote, first of all, my thoughts about the first step. I wrote it down, mimeographed it, and then we took it to the group. And then we discussed what I had written. And then we added what they wanted written. And that went on for 12 weeks, going through editing, putting it together, back and forth, and finally we came up with this book here. That's our first edition. So the thing that I'm trying to get across to you is people have a voice. People need a voice. I'm a therapist. I was. I don't practice anymore except now and then. But as a therapist, I found this. What I would ask a person when they first came to my office, write down, I want to get to know who you are. Tell me the three great strengths that you have. What are your three great things about yourself? What do you like about yourself? Well, I would sit there and work on my papers or something, and 5 minutes went by, and I said, I looked at him, well, you haven't written anything yet. It's just three things. Well, I don't know. I'm trying to think, you know, what I like about myself. Well, hey, give you a break. How about two things? Same thing. No response. Then I thought, you know what? I'm glad you came. I used to feel the same way. I could never find anything good about myself. From childhood, people had told me how worthless I was, how you'll never amount to anything. Not my family, but teachers, because my brother was a genius and I was a dummy. So I thought, that's what they made me believe. So anyway, that's how we started our sessions. From that, I would refer them to our conference room where there would be a DA meeting.
I'm muted. You.
How much time do I have left? Oh, okay. Well,
about 15 minutes.
Okay, thank you. So anyway, that's how DA got started. Then in 1990, we printed these books. We started to 1990. Sorry to remember all these dates. 1990. We started a newspaper, a newsletter. It was called the Antidepressant Tablet. Now, isn't that clever? No pills, no water. Don't have to drink it. Don't have to eat it. But here it is. So that was about a 10-page newsletter, and we wrote that it was a quarterly, so four times a year. And we sent that out, and gradually people started hearing about us. You know, but the real miracle has been when the internet, I'm before the internet, I'm before the iPhone, I'm before the radio. No, that was invented when I was younger. But anyway, here we are with Skype. Four or five members of DA set that up, and then we became more available. So good news travels fast. And then here we are. Four or five members of DA started Zoom, started this. And during the pandemic, this was a lifesaver. DA with Zoom was literally a lifesaver. You heard that. It's a lifesaver. So with the program and the help that I've had from everybody, including I was helping, they were helping, we became a community. This world is looking for a community. They're looking for some place to go where people will listen. You know, that's the problem. We've got such a stigma about depression that we're going to have to fight that as well, the stigma. Because, you know, I'm depressed. I'm not losing my mind. But even though there are certain feelings that you do feel, you can't remember things. You can't keep your mind on anything. If you're reading, are you going to read a sentence or two? That's what happened to me. I wanted to sleep all the time. And that's how I initially knew I needed help. When I would come home from work and I would go right to bed. Right to every time. And when I woke up, I didn't want to wake up. And what did I do? I knew I had to do something. And that something was, Hugh, you've got to do something. So I forced myself to go and walk 5 miles in the beginning, 5 miles in a mall. I hated it because after I got done, I had this jittery feeling. If you've had that feeling in your gut, that is really painful, as you well know. I've got close to that in the last number of years, but I've always had something to help me. And what has helped me is this group. We can talk openly here. Nobody's going to criticize you or say, snap out of it. What's wrong with you? You don't hear that here. What you hear here at this group, in these rooms, you hear compassion and understanding. You can't buy that. You really can't. And you can also talk to people between sessions. They don't charge you a rate for therapy, you know, and people really know what they're talking about because they too have been depressed. We're in the same boat and we each have got an oar. So we all have to row together and row to shore. So I think from that, I'm just trying to say that, yes, it's difficult. It's hard. But if you have support, it becomes possible. It's doable. So the first thing you do is once you're aware that you're depressed, that you're depressing, then you need to know that you need motivation. Motivation follows action. Remember that. Motivation follows action. Go to a meeting. Come to a meeting when you don't want to go to a meeting. Go outside and walk when you don't want to walk. Talk to a friend when you don't want to answer the phone. Go to a meeting when you don't want to go to the doctor's office. Go to a meeting. And secondly, after you do that, then really get into action and come to a meeting. Read the literature. Read the literature. Make your voice heard. Know that you're okay. You're okay. And if you believe that, then you're on the road to finding healing and help. And so when you get all that together, you get this group together, you'll find out that there is so much that you can do by serving others, by service. Be willing to maybe chair a meeting. It's scary. I know when I tried to, I always need a lot of help with this technology. And so I always find people to help me. But chairing is a great experience. It's like putting your foot in the water, you know? But everybody here is kind. They've all been through the same thing. And so they know how to help. And but service is really the key to serenity, sobriety, and all the things that we need when we're handicapped by a depression or any other disability. So I think that's enough for me. But anyway, I just want to tell you, it does work. And once it works, you just maintain. You maintain it by coming to meetings. You know, I think it's like a closed system. They call it a syndrome. You've got your thinking, your feeling, your behavior, and your motivation. All these are conditioned by depression. That's what I call it. Use the circuit breaker. You know what a circuit breaker does in your home? If you use too many appliances, yeah, I see somebody smiling there. Yes, it does. Like you got too many coffee pots, the lights go out, right? And then you have to go to the circuit breaker panel, and then the lights are out so you can't see where the buttons are. But anyway, I've had that experience. So you have a circuit breaker so there's not more damage done. So it breaks the ability for anything to run, any appliance. Now, our circuit breaker in Depressed Anonymous, because when we go down, when we start spiraling downward, what do? I just intuitively knew I got to get up and walk. I've got to get busy. I got to do something for myself. And you know what? That did save my life, because that was way back when, you know, in the Stone Ages. And I wouldn't have known depression if it hit me in the face. But once it did hit me in the face, I knew I was in trouble. I was scared, actually scared. My gosh, I can't get rid of this. I can't shake it, because it had swallowed me up. I felt there was no way to go, nowhere to go. So finally, one day after walking over a year, I felt a little bit of lightheaded. Oh my God, oh, it kind of feels good. You know, I haven't felt this in over a year. And then the thought came to my mind, yes, but it won't last. It won't last. And you know what? It didn't. I talked myself back into a hole, but then it did last, because what lasted was my wanting to keep on walking. So I guess a circuit breaker is a good analogy, I think. DA, when you start spiraling, it's there for you. It's there for you. You might feel guilty and shame. And the more you think about how bad and awful you are, the worse it's going to get. So what you need to do is look at the ability, look at the belief that you are going to get through this. I did. I thought I was pretty bad off. But if I can do it, you can do it. But I just want to say, I want to thank you all for being here today. This is some of my story. It's in the book, in the beginning of the book. But I just want to thank you for listening to this part, because there is hope. Hope is the oxygen for the soul. Hope is a hard habit to break. Did you ever see that movie about Good Will Hunting? Yeah, that's a hopeful movie. You are not bad. You're not wrong. None of that. Don't believe that. I had a teacher tell me, you'll never be like your brother. And he was smart and I was not. I carried that for years. You know that? And the main thing that got me out of it was forgiveness. Folks, if you want to get well, forgiveness. Forgive people who have hurt you, or you resent people that you resent. There is a way out, and that's a good way out to start talking about people that you resent, or people that have hurt you, abused you, maybe your parents, maybe they drank, maybe they fought all the time. But come here. Please come here. We have the resources, myself, all the people I see here today. You all have you're all a resource in a certain spiritual way. This is a spiritual program. I believe God. I believe in a higher power. I've seen it work so often in my life. I never thought I'd be here years ago. I didn't think I'd end up here in a meeting talking to people around the world. Our higher power gets us where we need to be. And for me, it was on my knees, on my knees. You know, there's a God, and it ain't me. So I think I just want to leave you with that today. So thank you all for having me here. Thank you, Shauna, and all the rest of the DA Fellowship. I see familiar faces here. So I'm going to stop now, and if you have any questions, please let me know.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Hugh.
You're welcome.
That was
thank
a
you.
Beautiful share.
Thank you.
Really appreciate you. So we will open it up now for questions and comments regarding Hugh's share. And after that, you can also share.
Did you want to stop the recording?
Well, in the past, there have been recordings that have questions and okay. comments. So I was choosing at this time to go ahead and let that happen. All right. And after we get done with questions and comments regarding Hugh's share, if people want to stay longer, we can also share on how we're doing today. Go ahead, Mara.
Hi, this is Mara, recovering from depression. Hi, Hugh. Thank you so much. For your really inspiring and hopeful story. And when I first started, it was during the pandemic. And I came to meetings and I went through the program and it was great. I did, I did get over my depression and I loved it. It was great. It was great to do service. I found myself once again, back in depression, and I'm trying to work my way through it again, using the tools, using the program, sharing. And I was wondering, Hugh, if you had done that in your life as well, did you find that you had gone out of depression, you went back down into it, and you were able to pull your way out again? I was just wondering if you have been through those episodes. Thanks.
Thank you, Mara. Very good question. No, I haven't. I have not relapsed. I've had some tough situations. Losing my brother was probably the biggest one. I had grief. I had sadness. I was mourning. And I think those depression and mourning and grieving kind of, they look alike, really, but they're not alike. But it comes in waves. But depression, no, I never had that ongoing sadness. Sometimes when I wake up, a little anxiety in my life, my mind, I feel a little, I don't get depressed, but I offer this day up to God. God, you take care of this anxiety. I got to get to work. I can't sit here on the edge of the bed and just worry about myself. So I put both feet on the ground and off we go. But I'm not denigrating people who can't get out of bed. No. That's a very serious issue that has a serious consequence, but at the same time, it's doable. You can do it. Force yourself to do it. It's possible. No, I have not had, knock on wood. I just keep busy. I keep talking to you all. That helps me. That keeps me honest, really. I have a sponsor. That keeps me honest. Somebody that's willing to listen to me. I did the steps, the fourth and fifth step, especially with the priest. And but thank you for the question, Mara. That doesn't mean I'm Superman. No, I'm the same flesh as you are. And I just do what I can do. And I felt sad at times, but it doesn't linger because I just immediately go to my literature, talk to a friend. But talking to a friend is probably our sponsor. So. But I just thank God today I'm sober. Do I sound sober? Okay, there you go. Don't answer that. But I am sober, and I find serenity. I have a wife that supports me with all my work I do, and we're busy in Louisville trying to get people to come to find hope in our DA group. So, yes, that's how I stay serene, is I talk to others about depression. And when I come to meeting, you know, I'm energized after a meeting. I don't go away sad. I go away energized. I'm out there for another stab at the day, you know, another day. So I pass. Thanks. I got long-winded, didn't I? Wow.
Thank you, Hugh.
You're welcome.
This is Shauna, and I just wanted to tell you, I love that saying, hope is the oxygen that feeds the soul. And I found a lot of hope here at DA, especially with sharing with others, being able to have a safe place to share thoughts and feelings, and to know that people here have depression. And talking about depression is not something that I could do with everyone, especially some of the things that happened as a result of the depression, with me trying to escape from it. Sharing those things that I was so ashamed about. I did have a question for you. With the circuit breaker, when you use that circuit breaker analogy, could you go into that again? Like, what if I'm feeling very depressed, and let's say I'm someone who can't walk, okay? Because actually that was something that was very hard for me because of the condition I had. And I think there's other people here that have physical conditions where they can't go walk 5 miles a day. What would you say would be the circuit breaker? You know, like if you're turning it back on, the energy, what would you say the circuit breaker would be for people that aren't able to be very physical?
That's a good question. What to do for people who have a physical difficulty. I would support them by being present to them where they live, where they are, if that's amenable to them. Like Jane in the story that got this whole thing going, I think I would make sure I'm in contact with her or them or whoever it is. That is if they want you to talk with them, you know, that's the first thing. But I would say, yep, give them a book to read. Give them something positive to read. You know, we have higher thoughts for down days. Have them read that. Give them a book. Right now, we're trying to help people who have no money to buy our literature. So we're sending them out to people who have a need for our literature. Money shouldn't stand in the way for somebody to get healing. You know what I mean? You know, it doesn't cost you anything. But all it costs you is a belief that I'm going to get better. But answer that question. There's different ways. Literature, visit them, talk to them. If you know them personally, yes, by all means, get involved in their life. And tell them your story. Bill W. and Dr. Bob and one more alcoholic, all they did was meet in the kitchen of Bill W. I mean, they just talked to another like another human being. They told their story. And the story always resonates. When I hear all the stories here at this group meeting, I can resonate with it. I said, "My, they must have walked in my shoes. They must know how I feel." It's a deadly feeling. It's a deadly feeling. But yes, there's hope for them. There's ways. Be creative. Do something that you would like to do for them. And ask them, "What would you like me to do for you about this?" And they'll tell you. So thank you, Sean.
Thanks to you. Carolina.
Thank you, Shauna. Thank you, Hugh, so much for your share. It was amazing and so inspiring. And I can relate to so much of what you said. And Good. And basically, these past few days for me have been like super uninspiring. You know, like I have been going through a lot of uninspiring situations and things that I have to do. But keeping connected to the group, to everybody, just inspired me, you know, like to just move. I didn't want to wake up. I didn't want to get up out of bed the past few days. And just this connection has helped me so much, Hugh. So I'm so thankful for all of you. You know, it's an inspiration, you know, that's what it is. So it's harder some days, I have to accept, you know, in some moments it's like, I feel unbearable, you know, but it's there, you know, there's a light there. So, you know, I have to, sometimes it's harder to see it, but just knowing that it's there is so helpful, you know, Hugh. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Carolina, for talking, visiting with us.
Thank you. That.
Good. Keep coming back, as they say. Keep coming back.
Mauro?
Thank you, Shauna. And thank you so much, Hugh. It's really awesome to hear the story of how this group came to be, how you brought it together. I've been dealing with depression since I was 13, at least. Pretty much chronically, but I've been getting way better in the last couple of years. When I found this group, I definitely felt at home here. And one of the things I really appreciated was getting the literature. I actually was not working at the time and got that help to get the books free of cost. And I've been part of other 12-step programs that used the big book of AA and even those for a different condition. And it was hard. It's hard to relate to that literature, to those stories, even though the words, you know, it's just one or two words difference. So the fact that, you know, you headed up writing this book to speak our language, that was a big help for me. And so I'm very grateful for this group. I'm very grateful for the work that you've done to help put it together. And thank you for sharing that story today.
Thank you. Thank you for your share. Appreciate that. Yes.
Well, thank you everyone so much. I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording and then we'll continue the meeting here.